We will be in Matthew chapter 18, looking at the parable of the unmerciful servant, starting in verse 21. Next week, we'll be over in Matthew chapter 20, the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Then I think we're going to head over to Luke. But that will be the 20th chapter, will be for next week. As we come to our passage today, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. You speak to us in your word. You speak to us truth. And Lord, I thank you that you speak to our hearts and deep into our souls and our minds. And pray that your word would speak to us today. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Have you ever held a grudge? Have you ever had a hard time forgiving somebody for something? My guess is the answer is yes in every single person here. At one point or another in your life, somebody really hurt you, or maybe even just hurt you a little bit, and you had a hard time letting go of it. How easy is it for you to let go? How do you let go? How do you forgive someone who has hurt you to the core of who you are? And another question is this, and this is a question Peter asks. What happens if someone keeps doing it over and over again? How do you deal with that? Well, in the 18th chapter of Matthew, Jesus is talking about interpersonal relationships. And he's talking about how to deal with a person who sins against you. And you go to that person one-on-one. That's the first thing you do. And if there's no repentance, then you bring a couple others, and then there's a progression there. But this idea that when human beings come together, we offend each other. It happens. And the question is, how do we deal with that? We live in a broken and sinful world with broken and sinful people, and we are all in that category. And how do we work through that? How do you work through your pain? How do you work through it when somebody hurts you? Well, here's a passage that Jesus gives us, and it's in response to Peter's question. So Matthew chapter 18, starting with verse 21. It says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart." So pretty harsh word there. Pretty strong word from Jesus. And just to give you an idea of what's going on in the passage, you might not recognize the currency there. So 10,000 talents, I looked up the equivalents, today is worth, I think, about $6 billion. If it's not $6 billion, it's somewhere between $1 and $10 billion with a B, dollars. 100 denarii, maybe about $1,000. Okay? So if you want to think about a billion, put a 1 and then write 9 zeros behind it. Okay, that's a big number. That's a number that you can't pay back. And I think that's the point that Jesus is making. This is just a debt. And how does this guy, how do you accumulate that kind of debt? 6 billion or 1 billion or 10 billion or whatever it is. It's a huge debt. And he goes before the king. And he begs the king to have mercy. He begs the king that he would forgive his debt. And that's why, you know, when we say the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts, when you sin, that is a debt to God. Okay, so that there's the analogy there. So he goes before the king, and the king forgives the debt and cancels the debt. And wouldn't you think he would be so happy, so joyful, that he wouldn't be worried about someone who owes him about $1,000? You just went from being $6 billion in the hole, right? And you have this guy who owes you money, and he said he choked him. I mean, did you see that? You picture this? He's choking the guy. He just got forgiven over $1 billion, and now he's choking a guy. And we read that and we say, man, that guy is crazy. But there's the analogy. Okay, this is not, parables aren't necessarily true stories. They're stories that Jesus tells to illustrate a point. But look at us. What have you been forgiven? When we sin, we are committing treason against God. And here's what we say when we sin. We're saying, okay, Lord, I know what you want me to do. I know what Satan wants me to do. I'm joining his side. I'm going over to your enemy. And what God says the penalty for sin is death. You owe him your life. And he cancels the debt. And instead of you paying for it, Jesus pays for it. Jesus pays for your sin. Imagine that. Imagine that someone owes you a lot of money, and instead of having them pay you back, you just pay it all back yourself. You take the debt onto yourself and you pay it. That's what God has done. That is the immensity of the forgiveness of God, the grace of God. And sometimes I don't think we understand it, or we can make sense of it. You know, today I mentioned the passage about David offering a sacrifice. The reason they had to offer sacrifices in the Old Testament is because blood is required to be shed in order for sins to be forgiven. Aren't you thankful you don't have to bring animals to sacrifice today? Aren't you thankful that Jesus is the final sacrifice? And aren't you thankful that God's wrath isn't just poured out on you because of your sin, because he is so forgiving and loving? So therefore, we should forgive. This passage is basically Jesus saying, you should pay it forward. You should take this forgiveness that you've received and you should pay it forward. But what keeps us from forgiving? I think a lot of things do. I think pride does sometimes. I heard one person say to me, if I forgive this person, then this person is going to think I'm weak. And my response was very theological, so? Right? Okay. They will think you're weak, but God will think you're strong. God will be pleased with what you're doing. So if somebody thinks you're weak, then they can think you're weak. Anger. When you've been hurt, you get angry. That keeps us from forgiving. Resentment. Revenge. Maybe hatred. Maybe that's what keeps you from forgiving. Have you ever reached a point where you don't want to? You'd kind of thrive on this being mad at another person. Or maybe you don't want to let the other person off the hook. Why should they get off the hook? They did this. And by the way, forgiveness is not letting a person off the hook. I'll talk about that in a minute. Another thing that we do as human beings is we tend to treat people the way they treat us. If someone's nice to you, it's really easy to be nice back, isn't it? If somebody hurts you or is harsh or is rude, then you have that feeling inside of you. Maybe I shouldn't speak for all of you. I have that feeling inside of me that I don't want to be as nice to that person. I think that's part of our sinful nature, our human nature. You see, it's starting when kids are little. You know, we have kids in the nursery downstairs, and one kid might take away a toy from the other kid. What's the response going to be? I don't know. I mean, I think about my kids, and the responses would have been different. Caleb would have chucked something at you. That's what he would have done if you took something away from him. It starts when you're little. And as you get older, maybe you don't have the same type of reaction outwardly. it gets more sophisticated, but you have that same type of inward feeling, don't you, when somebody hurts you? And I think ultimately, becoming a forgiving person is about maturity. It's about getting away from that childish way of dealing with things and forgiving the person. It's about maturity. It's also about integrity as opposed to hypocrisy. See, Jesus is pointing out hypocrisy here in this passage. A guy's been forgiven a huge amount of money, and he refuses to forgive a much, much smaller amount of money. That is hypocrisy. When we don't forgive others, as we think about Jesus dying on the cross for us, when we don't forgive others, isn't that the height of it, hypocrisy? And when we think about Jesus and we think about God, and how does God treat his enemies? He dies for them. He lays down his life for his enemies, because in Romans 5 it says, while we were sinners, we were enemies of God. And instead of treating us as we deserve, he treats us according to his own grace. See, Jesus doesn't say, do unto others as they have done to you. What does he say? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Right? It's how you want to be treated. Some other questions that might come up. What if someone doesn't ask or repent or say they're sorry? What if someone doesn't ask for forgiveness from you? Should you still forgive? Well, as I look at this passage, there's no exceptions in here. Jesus doesn't say forgive them 77 times. And by the way, he's not saying you forgive them 77 times and the 78th time you lower the boom. That's not the point. Some people interpret it as 70 times 7 or 77. The point is 7 is a perfect number. You forgive them forever. However many times they sin against you, you continually forgive them forever and ever. So as we see this passage, he doesn't say, I tell you not 7 times, but 77 times as long as they ask. Doesn't say that. Jesus also says things like, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who curse you. And if you read different parts of Scripture, you think about people who have forgiven without being asked. I think about Joseph in the Old Testament. Remember Joseph who was sold into slavery by his brothers? You might have had a tough sibling. That's pretty tough. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Sold into slavery by his brothers, told the parents, he died. Sorry. You know, there's 12 of us, so, you know, what's one more, right? What's just missing one, right? No, that's a terrible thing to do. And later on in life, they come to Egypt looking for food. And it looks like Joseph plays around with them and has a little fun with them for a little while. But he forgives them. And they are allowed to come and live there. And after their father dies, the brothers are still scared. They're afraid Joseph is really going to take revenge now that the father has died. And they come to him, you know, hat in hand, really remorseful. And Joseph's already forgiven them. And what Joseph says to them is, what you intended for evil, God intended for good, for the saving of many lives. So think about that. Even though, we've talked about sovereignty today, even though an evil thing might have happened to you, God is at work for good in it. And, you know, it's so easy to talk about this, but some of you have been really, really hurt by different things, by different people. But this is what God calls us to do. He calls us to forgive. So here's how I don't want you to understand this passage, especially in light of the last verse that I read. It doesn't mean in order to get into heaven you have to earn it by forgiving people. It means this. If you are a forgiven person, you should want to forgive. God places that in you to forgive. That is an evidence that you truly have faith in Jesus and the forgiveness that he offers. So it comes in and it flows out. And it doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy. But as you think about forgiveness, what I want you to think about is being a witness. We've talked about being a witness for Christ. And that involves what we say and what we do. It involves sharing the truth about Jesus. But it also involves our attitudes toward people. Because we're supposed to reflect the character of Christ to people around us. So if you want people to come to know and love Jesus Christ, we're supposed to reflect who he is. He is loving. He is truthful. He is strong, he is gracious, he is forgiving, and he is so many more things. But it really is shocking when somebody forgives, isn't it? Because people expect, like Joseph's brothers, they expected revenge, because that's how we're inclined. They're not expecting forgiveness. I was thinking about the church in South Carolina, and it came out that some of the family members of the people who died and some members of the church reached out and offered forgiveness to this young man who did this terrible thing. That's shocking, isn't it? Think about how you would feel in that case. That is shocking forgiveness. That is divine forgiveness. That is God's forgiveness flowing through a person to another person. And whether he receives that forgiveness, whether he apologizes, whether he asks for their forgiveness, that isn't really the point. I hope he does, but that's not the point. The point is that when you forgive, it's about you letting go of that. And it's really not necessarily about the other person. Sometimes the other person doesn't think they need to be forgiven. Sometimes the other person doesn't think they did anything wrong. That's not the point. But it is shocking when we act in a forgiving way, because everybody else is expecting something different. So, do we want to be good witnesses? Yes, we do. If we do, we should be forgiving people. And another thing I just want to say to you, and this is just kind of my observation in talking to people and dealing with people throughout the years, and myself as well. Resentment kills you from the inside out. Unforgiveness eats you up from the inside. It steals from you. It steals from you the life that God wants you to live. God does not want you to be resentful and unforgiving. If somebody has hurt you and you stay resentful and unforgiving, you let them hurt you twice. Only let them hurt you once, then forgive them, and you can move on. And God will give an account in heaven. They're not off the hook until they're actually forgiven by the Lord. You're not actually the one that's supposed to judge them anyway. God will take every action and every person into account. And I pray that every person in the world will be forgiven. But what God calls us to do is to forgive. And I just want to say one more thing before we conclude here. For the little things in life, the silly little things, have you ever really got mad at somebody about something and then, you know, maybe a few days or a few months later, you're like, what was I even thinking? That wasn't worth it. That wasn't worth being upset about. Here's what I would say to you. Those things, those little things in life, just let them go. Not a big deal. Just forgive. But there are bigger things. There are things that have hurt you to the core of your heart, of your life, that have affected you and changed your life. And it's not as easy just to say, let it go. And I wouldn't even presume to say that to you. Just let it go. I don't want to even make it sound like it's that easy. It's easy for me to talk about. But here's what I would say to you. Pray about this. Ask God to help you to forgive in a way that Jesus has already forgiven us. You need his divine power sometimes. Actually, you need it all the time. You need his divine power to help you to forgive. You need to confess to him, I can't forgive the way I should. I need your help. And you may need to do this more than once, because here's what my experience has been. You forgive a person, and then a while later, something comes up and reminds you that what that person did. Or maybe they do it again, and you get upset. And you need to ask God to help you to do that. The God of forgiveness will help you to forgive. We should be forgiving people. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the biggest message that we get out of this passage is the amount of your forgiveness, the great value of your forgiveness that we could never pay back. May we wake up every morning and go to bed every night thinking about that, and may we live our lives in light of your forgiveness, and I pray that we would be a forgiving people so that we reflect your glory to this world. Pray this in your mighty name. Amen.